One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to our program. Thank you for all the people that said some nice things about last week's episode. By the way, Dave and Bobby are here with me. Sorry.
Well, we're just ornaments now, Dave. We don't even need to be introduced.
I could just get a couple of cigar store Indians and put mics in front of them next time if that would be easier.
Props at this point.
That story I told at the top of last week's episode,
the Triple H
one? Triple H story, I realized after taping there was a whole other side to that story that I wanted to, that I completely forgot, probably because I pushed it out of my memory. I mentioned briefly when telling that story that when I was 12 and I was in junior high, I got detention for doing the cross chop and saying second and stuff, right? That caused a huge thing, actually, because...
You doing that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because my dad, he could either be like a super helicopter parent or just completely... Like on one week, he'd be like, get out of your notebooks from school. I'm going through all of them and I want to see the syllabus right here. It says back in September, you get a paper due. Get that paper out. I want to see what grade you got on it. He'd be that, and then the very next week he'd be like, I'm going to Thailand for a week with your stepmom. Later, loser. So, can I just get some consistency, if you please? But he was very strict about what I would watch on TV. I couldn't watch The Simpsons or Married with Children.
Really?
Because he said that they celebrated mediocrity. Like, they're trying to make it cool that you're to be a loser. So I wasn't allowed to watch those. The thing was, he was cool with gratuitous violence,
right?
But not with sex. He was he had that archaic, like, super right-wing thing, like, you know, two consenting adults making each other feel good with their naughty parts, bad. Steven Seagal shoot newsies at people, good.
Right.
And, by the way, shooting newsies in the movie, sexually harassing and raping people behind the stage.
Yeah. So,
it's all part of the process, man.
He's a method actor.
So, in line with that, now, as I said last week, I was a big fan of wrestling during the Attitude Era.
Right.
The last time my dad had ever seen professional wrestling on TV was Hulk Hogan telling kids to eat their vitamins and drink their milk.
Right.
So he had no idea what kind of shift had occurred that every Monday night in my room... I was watching women get their clothes torn off. They were showing as much booby as you could on cable television. And people flipping fingers and guzzling beers. He had no idea that was going on. So anyways, I get in trouble at school for doing the crotch chop and yelling, suck it. This concerns my father. And he
learned it from The Simpsons.
What he naturally wanted to know is, where did you learn that? Now, I could see the trajectory of this. I can't just say... I learned it from watching wrestling, because then, guess who's never allowed to watch wrestling again?
Right. I learned it from your client you introduced me to. You this is your fault.
It was Paul!
So, I'm put on the spot here. You know, I didn't think it through that right when I got home, he'd say, where did you learn that? So, on the spot, he's like, where did you learn motioning your crotch and saying, suck it? I'm like, that's some guy. He's like, some guy? What's some guy? I'm like, at the... bus station. I had to take a bus home.
And he had a van. And it was candy.
Well, that's the thing. All of a sudden, he's like, wait. A grown man came up to you and motioned to his crotch and told you to suck it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we need to call the cops. I'm like, no, let's not call the cops.
This is going to end with an innocent black man being shot, isn't it?
This is like so many of those stories in the 80s where someone made up an assailant.
Now that I'm worried about that all points bulletin going out, that there's a fucking random hobo trying to get girls, little boys at the bus station to fillet him.
This is Boo Radley all over again.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Who taught you that? It was a one-armed man.
It was harder for him to do the crotch chop. He had two motions, but...
I'm seeing this get way away from me here. I'm like, no.
Well, you just can't stop. You're already invested.
He's like, we need to get you into counseling. You survived a molestation attempt. I'm like, oh boy, I just wanted to watch wrestling.
Oh, that's great.
I somehow convinced him not to call the police because I was like, no, it wasn't a grown man. It was like a kid my age. He's like, still, that's not okay for him to try and, you know, solicit you to suck his dick. I'm like, right.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you had Bobby's vigilante justice brain, You would have thought of a person who needed some justice.
Oh, and then pawned it off on them?
Pointed them out as...
You pick the school bully, and you're just like, yeah, he does it in the bathroom all the time.
Yeah, I guess you could use that to inflict some karma on someone that deserved it.
It was funny because I was editing that episode, and I thought to myself of a whole different side story maybe you haven't considered, which was, for those of you guys who might have missed it, Ryan was exposed to a wrestler, a professional wrestler.
No, a wrestler exposed himself to
that's right. He thought it was going to be...
He said, suck it, he's in jail now.
His dad told him, I'm representing a wrestler who's going to be on the Drew Carey Show tonight. Ryan watched it. The wrestler was Triple H. That was Ryan's favorite wrestler. He was so excited. And he was waiting to go meet him because his dad told him, oh, my son loves you. You're his favorite wrestler. He comes out. And it wasn't Triple H, it was the not even pictured dude Triple H was wrestling in the beginning of the show, named Paul.
You got bait and switched by your dad. Yeah.
And then Paul came up and was like, what's going on, son? And Ryan had all the Triple H gear in his hands, and Paul was like, yeah, I'll sign that for you, and happily walked away. And Ryan, in your retelling of the story, Paul was just so oblivious to what was going on around him that he's like, well, I might as well, he must love me, I'll just sign all this stuff. In editing, I was thinking, what if there's a backstory? What if there's a different story to this? What if he came up super excited, looked at all your Triple H stuff, realized what had gone on and that you had liked Triple H and not him, but then decided to not make it awkward for you and then just played it off as if he was going with the flow?
I mean, that's less funny, but
yeah. It's actually way sweeter. He's a very sweet... Paul, you're a sweet man.
Yeah, then why is he getting a divorce?
Because he's married to Triple H, who's a dick!
So, guys, I have a all-time creep for you here.
Ooh.
This guy, now, as you
all
guys...
All-time is a bold statement. I mean, you've shown us some creeps.
Man,
before.
This guy, at very least, he is next level, okay?
He's teaching children how to crotch chop at a bus station.
Some guys just send my wife dick pics and move on,
right.
You know? This guy is next level. Now,
I can't imagine what next level would be for
so
me.
As you guys know, my wife gets a lot of creepos following her on the Instagrams here.
Yep.
This guy, who she just discovered today, if you guys want to go see him, I have no problem shouting his account out here. It's handsofecstasy.com. His name is David Bedford. And his whole account...
I already don't like him based on that website.
That sounds like either somebody who really loves MDMA or really loves sci-fi fantasy. Right.
And he's got zero followers. But anyway, he has this website. And so we decided to go to this website that he is so proud of. He built this. This is his website, Hands of Ecstasy. Let me tell you what this guy's whole deal is here.
Real quick, before we get into that. How did you, like, what was his creepy thing? Like, how did you know, okay, this guy's a creep?
His website. You're about to hear everything about it. But
he just posted his website on Aaron's page?
I forget what he said. He was like, you know, check out my website.
Okay.
It was just check out my website.
Okay,
all right? And that's, that right there, fine. But out of curiosity, she went to it to see what he needed her to see. And it was this.
It's all pictures of her.
Ooh.
It's like pictures of her with his face on it.
Pictures of her through our windows
through
of
window,
our house.
Yeah.
All right. So handsofecstasy.com. Here's the about section here. Let go of your inhibitions. If there was just someone who understood what you needed. If there was someone just that could take control and help you release all that tension. If there was a way to let go... I'm reading this verbatim. I'm not fucking this up. If there was just a way to let God with no inhibitions, safe, trusting hands of a skilled masseur are available for complete release of tension. So you're thinking, a masseuse, that's not creepy. Mm-hmm.
It's worded a little creepy. Definitely half the ending implied.
Receive a very special massage in the privacy of your home or office. Okay, yes. Fine. That's done. Whether it be to have a blissful moment of complete relaxation, enjoy the hands of a skilled masseur, or fulfill a fantasy. Now, this is where it starts to get a little off the rails. Women only.
Yeah.
No men. You must provide your age, height, and weight and recent pictures of yourself in order to qualify for this this massage in your house that turns out to be free. Now, let me continue here. What should I expect during a session? I will allow you to pick a coffee shop for us to meet initially. You lie on my mobile massage table with organic, non-scented grapeseed oil. I rub your body.
Just a couple pallets with cardboard on top of it.
By the way, that is why he had to know their weight. He needed to make sure it could, his table could take it.
My hands will explore your entire body and create an ecstasy you so deserve.
Jesus Christ. Is there a note in there that they're paying for the coffee and not him?
Let's see. Why should you do this? There's an absolute need. I've come to realize that women are so...
How did he spell come? I just...
The way you think. I've come to the realization that women are seldom offered this service. Yes, they are.
Constantly.
It's called being in a bar.
There are quite a few women. Oh, all these are bullet pointed, by the way. He cannot string together a sentence without bullet points. There are quite a few women who are very curious. That's the second bullet point. Next bullet point. There's an art to pleasing a woman, and sharing my talents just seems necessary. The pleasure of a woman is quite enjoyable for me. That's the last bullet point, or the next bullet point.
Why should I do this? Because I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. Why should you do this? Because I like
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Why do you come to me? I come to you for your comfort. By being in your home, you can relax and let... Can I come to your house and touch you? Let go of your inhibitions. Remember, women only. He's really emphatic.
Yep.
That dudes need not apply. No dude. I am a professional masseuse.
Well, I'll tell you what. When he put that website up initially, he didn't say no women. He was getting so many guys up. I guarantee you that happened. Now, I just want to know, in there, does he mention a safe word at all? Because I feel like that's something he would talk about.
What is the fee? There is no charge for the session. I'm purely motivated by my pleasure. Oh, I know what you're purely motivated by. I'm purely motivated by my passion to provide pleasure for a woman and who so welcomes it. However, there is a slight cost incurred for the service, so donations are appreciated, but no, by no means an obligation. This guy built a whole website so he could be a creep.
Yes, absolutely.
This guy built a monument to his creepiness.
And so, now he got you to advertise it to our dozens of listeners.
Yes. Well, let me say this. What you guys may or may not know is this is starting to become increasingly common. So a bigger and bigger thing is the female full release massage, which is now becoming kind of a cultural thing. There's a couple of like Vice and Vox articles about
it. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of Vice and Vox articles about it, but it's becoming like a more and more common thing.
I don't feel well.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I guess it's now becoming like more socially acceptable. And you know what? Hey, if there was just some random chick out there that's like, hey, we just offer hand jobs all the time, let's pretend like there wouldn't be a line out the fucking door for that place.
You can't compare the two. It's apples and oranges.
Right, but what I'm saying is, more power to you, ladies. If that's what you want to go do it. Have fun. You enjoy yourselves. You deserve every second of it.
Absolutely, but this guy is such a fucking creep.
Sure, of course they're creeps.
Oh, fuck, man. I just discovered he has a blog on the website, too. I'll get to that later.
It's called Trimming My Fingernail.
Or not, depending on your preference.
Whatever, man. It's your house. What a creep.
That is so creepy, dude.
Also, Bobby, we had a listener that wanted some advice from our resident vigilante justice.
Awesome.
Hit the theme music, please. This comes from our listener, Lauren, in Pasadena, California. Let me see here. She's been dealing with this thing from her landlord and a couple other things. She wanted to know what...
By the way, I've dealt with some good landlord vigilante justices in my day, so I'm excited about this one.
So about 3 months ago, we got a notice on our door they'd be doing some light construction for the day.
Uh-huh.
No problem. We didn't even keep it because we thought nothing of it. It's been going on for 3 months now.
Do you know if it's their apartment or their house, or is this nearby?
I'm gonna read you the whole thing, and you'll know, have as much information as I do. 3 long months of drilling starting at 7 a.m. Monday through Friday. One of the days they hit a nail while doing something, causing water leak all over my boyfriend's drums. Then the actual popcorn ceiling came apart and started peeling off under the floor. I ran outside and there was no one to be found. They just let the water just, they're just like, fuck it. Except my creepy neighbor who was trying to get into my house. But
to give me a massage. It sounds like you need some release.
What's your height and weight?
It's absolutely free! Just don't tell anyone I'm here!
Crutch shop!
So they they didn't come to fix it for another until days later, and I had to miss work twice because of them. I don't have a regular job with paid time off or anything like that. There's also been an occasion where they let themselves in without my any knowledge.
Wow.
Yeah, they had no knowledge. They let themselves in. Then the other day, I was walking in from the gym because I didn't have work till 11, and all these guys are outside of my house being like, we need to get in to install AC, and it's going to take all day. They never fucking called us. They're supposed to get 24-hour notices before entering. My landlord is on drugs or something and literally doesn't respond to anyone ever. I gave them permission to come in the next day since I was off just to have 10 people in my house blasting Linkin Park. Oh, already that's egregious.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. Right,
they covered my window in some kind of plastic wrap so I couldn't use my swamp cooler. It's 95 degrees in my room. So, anyway, this has been going on for months. There's no end in sight.
Right.
They're clearly, like, damaging their shit.
Right.
They're showing no respect to these people. Bobby, what would you do?
Before we get to the vigilante justice, I had a similar situation where I had a water cooler break in my apartment, or the hot water heater. I was flooded out, and they put me up in a hotel for a few nights, but the construction went on for like a month.
Yeah.
And I found a clause in my lease that was like, if it's unlivable for a certain amount of days, I can break the lease.
Oh, shit.
That would be my first recommendation, is look for something like that.
Okay. Yes. Well, always, first of all, you have a legitimate legal claim. So you don't really need vigilante justice in this case because you can go to small claims court. And let me tell you, the best thing is if she says, hey, my landlord is a fucking drug addict or an alcoholic and he's not showing up. You know what they do in small claims court? When you don't show up, you fucking lose, right? So if you come in with all your evidence and you have everything ready and your landlord just doesn't show up because he's a drug addict, you're going to win that case. And guess what? In that case, when you get that, not only can you sue for the actual physical damages, my boyfriend's drugs, this, you can literally sue for every day you could not use your apartment. So you go, okay, my apartment rent is this much per month. Here is one day of that.
Yeah.
And I can sue for every day I didn't have use of it or had limited use of it.
Do you think having it be 95 degrees and they can't use the air conditioning?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's unlivable.
Yeah, you can sue every single one of anything that's impeding your regular use of that place. You can sue for every day of that. And then you can also sue for just your time, including I missed work these days. This is how much I usually make.
Lost wages.
Yep. And then you can sue for some kind of version of damages where you're like, I couldn't sleep during these days, or they were bothering us, or et cetera. And usually damages, they're pretty reluctant to give. But you know what judges hate? When you don't show up to court. And so you know what they do? They give it. I've had to go to small claims court a few times. I've had people who didn't show up. You'll win that case. Trust me. If you bring your evidence, you will win that case.
And Lauren, if you're listening, it sounds like you could have some tension you need to leave. I've got a guy for you.
Well, we need a picture first, so.
Obviously, that would be the ideal, is she would go to court and win. But I would also what kind of vigilante justice could you do?
Okay, so much. Now, it depends.
That's what we want.
It depends how much
you got the nerd answer out of the way. Like, go to the legal channels.
Yeah, totally. So there's so much you can do because you have access to this building. He doesn't know who had access to what. And therefore, if the building itself is his form of income, you can obviously compromise that to an extreme degree in ways that he wouldn't be able to trace back to you. One of those is, one, I would highly recommend you do this stuff on your way out. So you don't want to damage the building you're planning on staying in for the next 2 years or something.
Yeah, so if you take Dave's advice, you find a closet, you can break your lease and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Then do the following.
Yeah. Actually, let's do all three. Find a clause that gets you out of the lease, then take him to small claims court to get your money back, then third, theoretically, somebody might do the following. All right, so depends on what type of structure it is. You're talking about an apartment building that is likely some kind of raised foundation. If it's a slab, this wouldn't work. But if you have a raised foundation, meaning that the house isn't on a slab of concrete, it's got the walls that kind of hold the house up.
Right.
If you get underneath there, you can cut 5 or 6 of the 4x4 supports that go down to the floor that end up anchoring that house down. Now, that's not going to make the house collapse, but what it is going to do is make the house legally unlivable until those get fixed.
Ooh, he's going to get a lot of lawsuits on his hands.
Right. One of the things that's really interesting about a lot of those raised foundation houses is they tend to have a very narrow opening. A lot of them, especially if they were made in 40 or 50 years ago, the opening to get in is going to be like 3 feet by 4 feet. That makes it really hard to get big equipment in there.
And then release the raccoons!
Right. Right. So if you find a way, and I've seen people do this before in very funny ways, to make that opening smaller, including just, framing out some more wood, some people even pour some concrete, you can not only cut those support beams, but make it physically impossible for them to do the repairs on it because they can't get the equipment down there. And what that means is until they find a way to do that, that apartment complex is now unlivable. Yeah. So you have just taken their ability to get rent from people. And if you notify the county, hey, I went downstairs, I went into the little crawl space, I heard some creaking and some weird stuff, and I went down there, and the main support structure beams are cut. They will evacuate that the next day.
Okay, now, if Vigilante Justice was a store that I walked into, you're showing me the high-end shit.
Yes, yeah, sure.
I want to know, what's the bargain bin? Something with no
what's the 5-cent deal? Yeah.
By the way, you can do this with a skill saw from Home Depot in about 10 minutes. But even then, yes, this is going a little extreme. Now, the other thing you can do is make the apartment hard to live in or hard to rent after you leave. Now, this is the more easy one to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Kill yourself in the living room. Yeah. Murder a hobo in the bathroom.
First of all, you don't need
to. Call a masseuse over. Kill him.
That'll be great. You're ridding the world of one creep.
Let me just say this. If you want to haunt a house, you don't need to go that far. It's really easy. All you do is get a Bluetooth speaker with an inverter hooked up to it, wire it up in the walls, and then you allow yourself to come up close to the building with your phone, and you can yell creepy things through a speaker
like
in the wall.
Ryan, am I alone in thinking that Bobby's version of easy is not...
it's a little bit of hard wiring on the 120. Come on.
Yeah, it's like you rewire the building, all right? First you go to do like a journeyman type school for about 6 months to a year.
Nah.
And then
you open up a little hole, you put a tiny little Bluetooth speaker in there with some kind of activation on it. You're wired into the building.
Haunting, we get it. What's your bargain bin? What's your real simple?
So a few of these are just basically sabotaging the apartment for the next person. So
that's not fair.
Well, no, because when you move out, they're gonna have to show the apartment, right? So if they're showing the apartment and it's unrentable because of that, there's a lot of things that would essentially stop it. So there's always the famous ones that people do, like you pour some powdered concrete down the drains. That's a famous one. You have to replace all the piping. Then there's the ones where you have a hole in the wall. You don't even need to make a hole in the wall. You can open up an outlet or a fixture.
Also on your way out, Lauren, if you have tampons, flush them.
Yeah. You pour a bunch of fish juice down there, which is
cat litter. Flush that. Do that.
All that kind of stuff. So those are little ones where you walk in the house. You can't tell where the smell is coming from. It's overwhelming, and there's no way they'll ever find it, and it's unrentable because of that smell. So rotting fish guts and stuff do that quite well. Then there's like the little things, the little like subtle ones that you can do. Basically shut off all the breakers in your apartment, go in, pull out all the switches, and just disconnect like half the wires or cut like half the wires in hard to see places. It will take them years to figure out what's wrong with the electrical. And if you walk in and can't turn the lights on, you can't rent that place.
Right.
So what you do, by the way, so I'm not saying, again, turn off all the breakers so that you don't get electrocuted. Pull the light switch out. You don't just disconnect the light switch. They'll find that in a second. You pull out the part that's deep inside the wall, cut one side of it, and put it back in. It will take them so long to find that short. You might as well just close the building down.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, and they'll probably end up having to rerun the Romex. So that, just little things like that. Anything you can do, think about it this way. They're going to have to re-rent that place. Think of what would stop you from renting a place if you walked into it. If you can do that...
Nothing. The San Diego housing market is better. Yeah. I wouldn't do anything right now.
It's in Pasadena. It's worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lauren, I hope those tips have helped.
Keep us posted, too.
Yeah.
Ryan, I actually had a little bit of vigilante justice this week.
Oh, yeah.
So I had two things back-to-back happen in my neighborhood. As you guys know, I live in the ghetto.
This is not the ghetto.
Let me tell you a few stories.
So my ghetto is more ghetto than your ghetto.
I was just thinking about this before you start, is that I used to live in the ghetto, Lakeside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horrible neighborhood.
Different type of ghetto.
And I just recently, I now live in a really nice neighborhood that I really like. I realized, because we had a police helicopter making some announcement.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in forever. And the ghetto bird is how I used to tell what time it was in my old neighborhood. Like dangerous suspect on the loose. I'm like, oh, is it after 9 already?
Yeah.
Shit, I gotta get to sleep.
Dude, my favorite is when they're announcing a description, like, I'm gonna run outside and help find this
guy. They were doing that. And the thing
is, I do that every time.
The ghetto bird, they fucking need a better PA system, because that shit, I can't understand a word they're saying. You're trying to tell me there's a dangerous criminal on the loose.
Right.
And all I hear is, oh, there's a person in a red sweatshirt, there's an armed and dangerous person. I'm like, I guess I'll die.
We should start a reality show where we wait for that to happen, then we dress according to whatever they're saying, just start jogging around the neighborhood and see what happens.
That is your white privilege talking right there.
But no, so we...
No black guy would be like, I'm going to dress up as the criminal they're looking for and try and dare them to arrest me.
So I live in the ghetto, and I was hanging out in my front room. It was about 11:30 midnight, about a week ago, and it was Saturday night. and I hear kind of some loud yelling and stuff. Now, I live by SDSU, so we have drunken college kids. It's the beginning of the semester.
Right.
Super common, just hear them yelling, and I hear, like, yelling. And I hear a girl's voice yelling. I'm like, all right, oh, God. More and more. And eventually, I'm like, you know what? I'm a vigilante. I better go make sure nothing's going wrong.
You're referring to yourself as that, just like...
Yeah.
I'm just picturing Bobby, like, reluctantly pulling on his tights and putting, gotta go check this out.
Where's my cape?
With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah.
Utility belt's all the way on the other side of the house.
I'm not fucking letting Uncle Ben die again. No, so I open the door, and what I hear is actually pretty surprising. It is not a drunken college kid. In fact, it's a full-grown woman. There is a van parked in the entrance to the underground parking garage of the apartment across the street. There's a van just parked there. It's not going in. It's parked in the entranceway. This woman is yelling into the driver's side and clearly very angry. And she's yelling at what I assume is her husband or boyfriend.
I don't know. It could be like a Postmates delivery gun.
And she's screaming at him. It's kind of...
like a masseuse situation.
It's unintelligible, but I realize there's something really wrong. And I'm like, oh, man, I hope...
So, again, so she's standing outside of a car. He's
yep.
in the car.
Yep. Okay. And I'm thinking, like, oh, man, I wonder if this is going to be a domestic violence issue. So I better stick around. And so I kind of keep the door open, and I'm looking. And she moves away from the van and starts talking on a cell phone, yelling. And she's clearly talking to her mom. She's yelling, Mom... And then yelling and crying hysterically, and I can't hear what she's
saying. So she's like the ghetto bird with the bad penis.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You gotta be more specific, lady. And so eventually I hear her yelling, yeah, blah, 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 while I was driving. I kept hearing her say that, and I'm like, okay, interesting. And she's yelling it enough that I finally catch on what she's saying. She's like, yeah, he started choking me while I was driving on the freeway. While I was on the freeway, I'm getting the kids, I'm getting out of here, and now I'm on super high alert. Because now I'm like, oh, shit. For those of you guys who don't know...
Bobby hikes those pants like, seems to be the problem here.
Yeah, domestic...
Who the fuck are you?
You know what comes next? Super duper high alert. You don't want to say that.
Oh, three more of those, and that guy's still looking at a demerit.
I hit that shit to red.
He's gonna find him some Bobby bucks.
Yeah. And so I realized, like, oh, this... Like, you guys know that domestic violence cases tend to be the most likely to become violent in terms of, like, when police see them and stuff like that. So I immediately think, oh, shit. And now I'm getting ready. So now I'm putting on my shoes. I'm like, getting my pants on. Yeah, I was like, all right, this isn't a boxer situation. And I put my pants on.
So super high alert doesn't involve pants?
No. High alert didn't involve pants.
How does high alert not involve pants?
Because I can still kick well.
He is always on high alert. Yeah, that's his baseline. Yeah.
He sleeps with one eye open. Yeah.
And so I get my shoes on, and I'm getting ready. And as I'm doing this, now I hear loud yelling. And
he grabs a handful of stink bombs.
Yeah, it's from a male. I hear loud yelling. And I was like, oh, fuck, game time. And so I run outside.
Game time.
And I run outside, and what I see is one male now chasing another male down my street, yelling, come on, motherfucker, come on, you want something? And he is very loud, very aggressive, and I realize, oh shit, now I need to, I don't know what's going on.
I was like, oh shit, that's another neighborhood vigilante.
Yeah.
I need to trade information with this guy. We work together.
We gotta make a Facebook group.
Oh, man, we're gonna be like the super best friends. Yes.
Maybe get matching costumes.
Bobby, was either the guy running the guy you saw in the car, and if so, which one?
I didn't realize at first. I thought this was a completely separate incident. I realized a little bit later on that the guy who's chasing the other guy is the male from the car.
And so the guy in the car is chasing someone else.
Yes. So what
who
I assume
was not previously there.
Right. So what I assume happened is this guy was walking by because he clearly just looks like a regular. He doesn't. They don't know each other. You can tell from the way they're yelling at each other.
He offered a massage in home.
He was probably walking by, saw his wife distressed, and said something, and now this guy's flipping out and he wants to fight him. He's doing the thing that you can tell if you have been around enough males who have been in fights before. The angry abuser guy is not really into this for the fight. This is for a show because he keeps getting within 20 feet of the guy but not doing it. The other guy's walking away. He's yelling like, listen, man, I don't know what you want. And the other guy, and the violent abusive guy's like, fuck you. You want to get in the way? Let's go. Let's do this. But he never gets close enough for the actual fight.
He wants the bravado.
But I realize at some point if this does go, all that other guy has to say is the wrong word.
He's just trying to give up space to launch a Hadouken.
Yeah. Well, no, he's doing what he's pissed off at his wife. Now he wants to display that he's the big masculine man here and no one can protect her because he can do it and he can beat this guy up and stuff. And I really
hurt him up and choke her at the same time.
Yeah.
He's multi-talented. He's a triple threat.
I realize that it can go bad if this other guy turns around and confronts him or if they just get too close and stuff. So I'm like, all right, vigilante time. Now I start following it. So now there's a trio of us.
Sonic boom!
Innocent dude just trying to help out in the front, walking away. angry, abusive husband, boyfriend guy in the middle following
him. Dude in a Spider-Man costume.
And me, not wanting to cause a scene, because I realize this guy is confrontational, I don't want to have to resort to violence, so instead, me slunking behind in the shadows, just in case this becomes violent. Yeah, in case
this
becomes...
That's when Bobby realized, his house is on a raised slab.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
And so I'm just kind of slinking in the background, and I follow them. This dude chases the guy for a quarter mile down the hill in front of my house, up the next hill in front of my house, screaming the entire time. And there are people, like, walking their dogs and shit, just like normal everyday life, as this guy is walking up the middle of the street screaming how he's going to beat this random guy's ass. And the other guy's just like, all right, man, I don't know what you want. I'm just walking home. Like, this is, I guess if you're going to fight, we're going to fight. But I'm just walking home, and I'm sitting in there in the shadows going, don't worry, your protector is here.
There's another bigger vigilante behind Bobby, right? Following all of them.
Dude, so...
that's when the guy noticed Bobby hiding in his bushes and called 911.
So anyway, he ends up abandoning the chase. I go back home. There's no confrontation. The woman, by this point, have gotten her kids in the car. They get in and they leave in time as this guy is still walking back up the street.
And then he chased the car like a dog.
He did run after the car, but it was not going to happen.
Yes,
so,
car.
Yeah. So that was one night, and I could go back to my wife. And my wife always does the same thing. She goes, you know, this is none of your business. And I was like, stop putting yourself in these situations. You have a kid. And I'm like, you don't understand vigilante justice responsibility, man.
I'm the hero this ghetto needs.
Yeah.
This is not a ghetto.
So the next day proves my point, because the next night we're sitting at home and we're sitting in the kitchen talking. I'm, you know, just barefoot. I'm wearing like shorts and tank top like I am now. Nothing's going on.
Oh, so you're not on high alert, right? I suppose.
Yeah, this is the next night. And then all of a sudden we hear one crash and then another giant crash. And I just sprint outside in time to see this heavily damaged, lifted Jeep Wrangler with all the accoutrement, you know, the winch, the big bumper, lifted up super high, the whole nine yards.
Never takes it off. Giant tires.
Right, exactly. Giant tires and whatnot. And he is now speeding up the road, and it's clear that his front right control arm is disconnected, meaning he has no control over the front right wheel of the car, because he has hit a car, got into a horrible accident. He's disconnected that control rod. Now he's driving, his front right tire is jumping to the right, making the entire Jeep jump to the right as he's trying to go forward.
Jesus.
He goes up to the street, and as he's going up to the main street, he realizes he can't drive this Jeep on the main street. He backs into a old folks home and then comes back down right by me. I'm standing pretty near in the road. He almost hits me as he's trying to control this thing as it's jumping left
Maybe
and right.
Someone was trying to choke him while he was driving.
Bobby tries standing in front of the Jeep like that Tiananmen Square thing. Didn't work.
He goes back by the accident and then speeds off up the hill. Of course, by this time, there's now 20 people pouring out into the streets. People are yelling, oh my God, he hit my car. Oh my God. I happen to, A, get and memorize the license plate number.
Obviously.
And then, and then I went down to go check what went on. He had nicked a Subaru and then demolished this Toyota. Demolished.
God damn it. When is somebody going to hit my car, dude? I've been asking the universe for fucking months. Somebody hit my car.
Should have parked here.
Going to.
This was a four-door Toyota Corolla, and this is no joke. The trunk of this four-door Toyota Corolla was touching the front seat. That is how badly he hit this car.
So he hit one.
Yeah, like sideswiped one.
He sideswiped it.
And then rear-ended the next one.
He was so distracted that didn't cause him to look up from his cell phone. He was like, that's probably not the... Oh, fuck,
I think maybe the sideswiping caused the other accident. He was clearly wasted, right? He was shit-housed based on the time of night and how badly the accident was. He hit this car so hard, it hit three cars in front of it. So it's sandwiched up.
Yeah.
Like three more cars. And so... Everybody comes out. They're like, what's going on? What's going on? I was like, don't worry, guys. There's people on the phone with 911. I was like, here's the license plate.
I got this under control. Everybody go back
inside. Yeah. I was like, here's the license plate.
It's okay. I'm an archaeologist.
Yeah, it's fine. Pull out my badge.
Bobby's like,
you pull out a bone.
He pulls out a megaphone. You guys, I'm looking for a Jeep.
So I give the 911 dispatcher the license plate and the description of the vehicle and the whole nine yards. And we get it in as a community. It's a really bonding experience, by the way. If there's ever an incident like that in your community, everybody gets together, they share stories.
No one's wearing pants because they weren't on super high alert.
Right. Fools. And I actually realized, like, where he turned around is this old folks home, which I know from a previous incident has video cameras. So I go up to the old folks home. I tell them to save the tape for the cops that are coming.
They're like, stop coming in here.
Exactly.
You have abused the fact that we have security cameras for the last time.
I then go on like a trek to see if I can't trace the car. So like I go up following like little bits of car debris throughout the street to try and figure out. Because I know he couldn't have gone too far with the damage that was to his car.
Right.
And I find an approximate location that I think he may have pulled into a backyard or something. Come back, talk to the cops, give him the whole speech.
Where's Jill doing all this? Because you guys were having
She's sighing loudly.
You can hear her eye rolls more than the actual accident.
She always tells me, she's like, stop chasing criminals. This isn't what you do.
It's in my blood. Yeah. I can't stop.
And the best part is, so I'm walking back after my trying to track him down. I'm walking back, and what I see is, again, still 40, 50 people out in the street just looking at this horrible damage. By the way, he fucked some people over. There was the Subaru he hit first. Was actually a car that had just gotten bought instead of a wedding by a brand new couple. They're like, hey, why be irresponsible and pay a whole bunch of money for a wedding? Let's instead spend the money on a new car. And they had
put out the... drunk asshole ruins it.
While they're on their honeymoon in Italy, this asshole sideswipes their car and ruins it. And
that doesn't make me feel bad at all because they have insurance. They get a new car.
They can't file the insurance claim, which has to be filed within the first 48 hours because they're in Italy. I still don't know what happened to them. The car is still damaged. I'm not sure. But yeah, they're screwed either way. No matter what, it ruins their honeymoon. As I'm coming back down, there's 40 or 50 people just mulling around in the street and cars are driving by slowly. And then all of a sudden, one guy starts yelling the name of what is clearly his dog. And I see this dog run out into the street, get hit by a car.
Oh, my God.
Get launched like 20 feet, rolling, rolling, rolling. And then I don't know if you guys...
dead?
No, because I don't know if you guys have ever seen this before, but dogs, when they get hit by a car, they just pop up and run away frantically,
right? I saw a dog get run over. Like, the tires went over the dog. Yeah. He just got up and kept running. And I was like, holy shit.
And usually what happens... what happens is the dog dies. Like, they get hit, they get internal damage, but they don't know, and they just run until they die. And so it runs off, and the guy starts screaming, like, oh, my God! And he chases him. So now I'm like, all right, we got to help this dog. So I run, I make a beeline and starts chasing this guy to help him chase down his dog, and
but
a few of the neighbors come with me.
I see Bonnie trying to make a decision. He sees the trail of debris going towards the backyard, and he sees a dog running away, and he keeps, like, looking at each one.
And that's exactly what was going on!
Dude, it's like Dark Knight Rises, when Joker set up the... What was the thing, Ray?
Yeah, he set up Harvey Dent and Rachel.
And I was like, oh my God! And so I start running, and I deputize some of the people. As I run by, I point at, like, two or three people. I'm like, you're with me! Let's go! And we run up the street, and I'm like...
Wait one goddamn second. You have never deputized Ryan or myself.
Happened around us, I would. And I run.
Phone call. See this caller ID catalog? No phone call.
We get up to the street. It's split in two. We don't know which way the guy and the dog went, so I start directing. I'm like, you, head that way. You, up Colwood. I'm taking this route. And we all run out and disperse. We end up finding the guy trying to corner his dog in a parking lot nearby and help him out. And by the way, this dog ended up running through like 8 lanes of traffic. So like he did almost very close to die. We end up cornering him, getting the dog, pulling it in. Unfortunately, the people did lose their cars that night, but at least that guy's dog survived, so that was like a little twinge of goodness.
I'm saying the guy, like, all right, it's okay, I've cornered my dog, he's gonna be okay, all of a sudden a blow dart goes in his head.
But I felt really bad as I was walking back, the Toyota that had gotten demolished, it was these two Filipino women who somehow didn't hear it and weren't out when the other 50 of us were out, and they were finally out, and they were literally picking their stuff up off the street, because it got ejected from the trunk of their car. And I went up to them, and I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and they're like, yeah, and nobody knows what happened. I was like, what do you mean? I came out, I gave the cops a full report. They said the cops didn't know what happened. They said they didn't know who hit them or anything. I was like, ugh.
They wrote Bobby off as a drunk.
Yeah, and I was like, listen to me. My brother-in-law is an insurance agent. Take down this license plate. Call your insurance company right now and tell them this happened. Because if not, you only have a window to file it, and then the insurance isn't liable anymore.
I mean, to be fair, they're Asian women drivers. That car was not
liable. Yeah, right. That's
anyway.
I felt so bad because these poor women were like, what do I do? How do I get to work tomorrow? Hell, they're like, we work doing like cleaning and stuff. Our equipment is in that car. It's now smashed. Like, we couldn't go to work if we wanted to. How are we going to get to work? What are we going to do? Our neighbor, whose car he rammed us into because it was a 3-car pileup, is now telling us that he needs to talk to our insurance because technically it's partially our fault too. Like, these poor women were just so screwed.
Should have gone into archaeology.
Now I was like, here's the license plate. And then tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., go up to this old folks home. They have a tape waiting for you. The cops are not going to pick it up. Your insurance company needs to see this. If you show them this tape, you will get this stuff covered, but only if you get this done, because otherwise he will get away with this. So
and if
go
you
do
like
it.
That, I've got another tape. It's my Vigilante Highlights, 1995.
That was one of my Vigilante Highlights, because those women left feeling much better and like much more secure about what was going on, as opposed to, we just got fucked. By the way, someone might be suing us because our car got rammed into the back
so
of theirs.
Let's fast forward here a little bit. Did they catch the guy?
I went up to the cops the next day, who were coming to do a follow-up, and I was like, so did you get him? I gave you the license plate and everything. They're like, well, we got all the info. And I was like, yeah, but did you? I mean, seems right. Like you could have tracked this guy down. It was had a super distinctive car, and you have the license plate. And they're like, yeah, well, we got to get going.
God damn it.
They did never go up to the old folks' home, by the way. I went and checked with them. Thankfully, the women whose car was hit went and got the tape, but the cops did not. They chose not to.
One thing I've learned is if you commit pretty much any crime you want short of murder, and as long as you're not still there when the cops show up, you're getting away with it.
Yeah. Unless Bobby's around, motherfucker, I'm coming after you.
The last step of Bobby's vigilante justice, leaving the police department a one-star Yelp review.
Hey, that shit. Okay, so it's election time. I'm seeing all the proposition signs all around every neighborhood. And the thing is, here's a little bit of shame I have for myself. I don't look into what these propositions mean. I don't. I'm uninformed.
Yeah.
I know I'm uninformed. Every time I'm like, next year I'm gonna really look up all these propositions, and I'm gonna, I just never do. And the thing is, they're so misleading, these signs that say like, vote yes for Prop 49 is yes to child sex trafficking. I'm like, so Prop 49 is in favor of it then?
You gotta imagine in their minds too when they put that out, like there's a guy who's just like a lawyer who's like, man, you know what? I've been child sex trafficking for a while. It's a shame that this industry can't take off. These regulations are really holding us down. Let's write this wrong. We'll write a proposition.
Yeah, you look into it, it's frustrating. Like, yes to child sex trafficking. He's like, oh, yeah, this one allows bail for so-and-so. God damn it. So the thing is, there's that, and I have no idea what the problems are. But also, like, these are the most minor elections ever. It's like vote yes to this guy. He wants to be the one to send you your water bill every month. Or this guy wants to be in charge of letting you know what you owe in supplemental taxes, you know? So, like a bunch of city councilman positions. The thing is, nobody knows who these fucking people are or care.
Right.
I don't even know who votes for these minor elections. I don't know anyone that does. Do you guys?
I do, of course.
You do?
Yes.
Do but you look up who these people are?
Yes, but that's because when you look at it, because my background, my master's degree is in education, when you look at it, the number one way you can influence politics in any way around you is voting for school board. So the one things that I care about more than anything, more than president,
they're in with the Teamsters. That's where they get the shit done.
No, because the school boards set the policy that govern your school districts. You can elect them. School board elections oftentimes come down to less than 50 votes per person, and that's the difference between someone teaching your kid creationism or science. And so it is actually, when it comes to school boards, it's a really big impact that you can have.
As far as city councilman, I don't know what a city councilman does. Let me tell you what I think it is. Bobby, don't correct me if I'm wrong. Right, I'm probably wrong. What I imagine when you get elected as a city councilman is one night a month, or maybe once a week, definitely not every night, you go down to some room that they also hold Alcoholics Anonymous meetings in, and fucking, like, 12 angry old assholes fucking yell at you for an hour while you rub your temples. Like, some dude comes up with a hat from the USS Who Gives a Fuck with a bunch of pins in it, and he goes, I am a veteran and a taxpayer. And you're like, oh, Jesus.
I demand child sex trafficking is legal.
And they're outside of my home where I have lived for 28 years. Shame, resign. Like, I remember from last week, Walter. And then you go, all right, we'll think about it. You hit a gavel and you go home. That's what I think city councilman is.
You can use them sometimes. I've used them before. We had a problem.
Child sex trafficking.
It's funny.
Track down the owner of a Jeep that hit a bunch of cars.
Yeah, no, I've talked to my council person before and got him to change things for me. It's pretty awesome, actually. They're kind of neat because nobody ever actually uses that resource. I do like the proposition system in California, though, because that, to me, is the ultimate in the idea of America, because it is the only part of our government that's a direct democracy. Everything else is based on a republic system.
No, I thought that, too, because one of our mutual friends made a post on Facebook. He was joking, obviously. Yeah. He was like, I wish we could have a proposition to eliminate propositions so I don't have to sign these petitions.
I saw that, too, and I was like, no. Like,
why are you trying to kill democracy?
Yeah, it's the
only... Just because you don't want to sign shit.
It's the only form of direct democracy that's available in America. And by the way, it's not available in almost every other state. California is one of the few states that allow this to happen. It's one of the reasons that I always argue that we are actually more free than places like Texas and stuff, who always brag about that. We can turn on right-hand turns. We can ride motorcycles next to each other. We can split lanes. And we have direct democracy. It's the only time where a person can then take their own idea and say, hey, you know what? Let's say we have too much police violence. We're going to put a proposition in that says that every police shooting will be reviewed by a state ordinance, and if enough people vote for it, it becomes the law. That doesn't exist in almost all the other states. It doesn't exist nationally as a country. It's amazing, and it's the only form of direct democracy
Bobby,
we have.
Pipe down. here's my point, is that I was thinking, because all these signs, no one knows who the fuck these people are, by and large, Bobby does.
Yeah.
But I wanted to create two fake candidates, one being just like unreasonably awesome and one just being unbelievably horrible. Like just one guy just Rudy Tooty Awesome-o and it just putting up false promises that like makes a thumbs up like, a vote for me is no more parking signs. Fucking park wherever you want. Speed limits, I don't know why they exist. They're gone as soon as I'm in office. And then just another guy, fucking Duke Horrible, who will just be like, tell me how segregation was bad. Come on, separate but equal. And just keep putting these signs all over San Diego just to piss people off and see how many people write those names in on the ballot. One guy's like, listen, a vote for Duke Horrible is a vote for I don't understand why a woman's claims of sexual assault should impact a football player's winning season. Are we trying to get Patrick Henry High School to the Nationals or aren't we? So I just want to do that. I want to make fake candidates just to confuse San Diego and throw a wrench in the whole fucking program.
You could probably find real candidates that are pretty much equal to those guys.
You have to go a little bit to the East County. We have Duncan Hunter. Duncan Hunter is basically that guy. Duncan Hunter's great because he's running for Congress right now.
And a masseuse.
Despite the fact that he was indicted on numerous felony charges and will almost certainly go to jail, and he's winning right now. He is winning the election in the East County despite the fact that he's been indicted for committing felonies related to his office and stealing money.
So before I take this job, I'm going to need some time off.
What's the PTO situation here?
There's going to be a good 6-month stretch where I'm not going to be reachable.
Let's talk about telecommuting. Can I work from another location?
Look, could you imagine going out for a job interview and being like, listen, I think I'm the most qualified candidate. Just so you know, I'm going to federal prison in about 3 months. But for those 3 months, you're going to be really impressed with what I get done.
For what? Beating up my boss?
Yeah, beating up. It wouldn't even be like my previous boss beating up you, if you don't remember. Because he got the felonies by being a congressman and abusing the position. Yeah. Not that outlandish, right?
Well, remember to get out there and vote, or don't. I don't give a shit. Before we sign off for this week, we got a little announcement. I announced on Facebook that we are bringing back our Riff Track episode. It is Halloween time, my favorite time of year. Those of you remember that we've previously done Children of the Corn. People seem to really like that. We're going to be doing it as a bonus episode. The reason why we didn't do it last year is the first time that we did a Riff Track, which if you don't know what that is, we watch a movie. Well, we're going to record our commentary over it, kind of like Mystery Science Theater 3000, and we'll make it so you can sync up the movie and watch it alongside with us, playing the podcast as a commentary track. We did it a few years ago. We didn't let people know it was going to be a riff episode, though. So a lot of people got into their car to go to work and went to go listen to the podcast, like, what the fuck is this? So it's going to be a bonus episode. We'll do it probably next week, guys?
We'll figure it out.
All right, but the movie that we will be watching, make sure you find a way to either get a DVD copy or find a streaming service that provides it. We'll be watching The People Under the Stairs. So.
Oh, interesting.
Tune in. Other than that, we'll see you next week.
And one more quick announcement, which is the Degenerates will be getting their own studio pretty soon. Probably in the next 2 months, we're going to be moving from my humble living room to our own studio. Very excited about that.
Getting out of the ghetto.
Yep. And so for those of you guys who've ever thought about doing a podcast, who maybe do a podcast yourselves and also want to kind of mimic us and move to a studio, which is going to be so much easier And by the way, in the long run, cheaper because you'll get to use really nice equipment for less of a rental fee than you would pay to buy that equipment over the course of many years. So we actually have a special deal going. It's almost done. I was able to get a really special deal in this place that we're going to be working. And so we're extending that out. I extended it out to comedians, and I'm going to extend it out to our listeners as well. If you guys want to get in on it, get a weekly slot. Right now, it is dirt low with this deal. Usually, they're going to be charging $35 an hour, which is actually a pretty good deal in and of itself. If you guys contact me, I have one spot open for $15 an hour. As long as you keep that slot open, you'll keep that price. You could keep this for years if you want it. So $15 an hour to record podcasts is incredibly cheap in a good studio with good equipment and the whole nine yards. If you guys have ever been interested in it, feel free to contact me via Facebook and give that a try.
Or you just use your iPhone. Who gives a shit? All right. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 oh. Motherfucking time is passing by.